Welcome to a very special Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Yusa.
I do believe in heaven. I'm not exactly sure what that looks like after we pass.
It's more of like a state of being.
I mean, it could be a reunion of those that have passed on.
I think it's really beyond our ability to comprehend.
When you pass away, your soul goes straight to heaven.
Maybe everybody goes to their own personal heaven.
It's going to be wonderful. I do know that.
It may be nothing. We don't know for sure.
What will heaven be like? The only way to know is by searching the scriptures. Discover the stunning truth of heaven as Dr. Yusuf, cultural anthropologist, pastor, and author, discusses our eternal future as heaven awaits.
Recently, Dr. Yusuf and I sat down in the studio to talk about his new book, Heaven Awaits. Up next, listen in. I think you'll find our content encouraging. So as we unpack the content, you'll want to order Heaven Awaits and make sure that you have your copy on the way. Here's the number, 866-626-4356. And you can always order securely online, ltw.org. Let's listen. What are the biggest misconceptions out there?
Well, I like to focus more on people in the church, because outside there, they really have no idea. I mean, they just hear about it. And Hollywood basically sold us a big lie. It says everybody, when they die, they go to heaven or become a ghost or become an angel. And they create all those kinds of fantasies that have no relationship with reality whatsoever.
We just care about what the Bible says.
Exactly. But even so, the Christians themselves do not want to know what the Bible says. And this is what grieves me. And they said, well, you know, I don't want to trouble myself with this. I just want to say when I die and if I go to heaven, that's fine. If I don't, why do you buy insurance?
Right.
So that you can leave some money to your descendants. You should be buying insurance in terms of your own eternity. And there are some people also within the church, again, the professing Christians, would say, well, I bought an insurance policy. I took Jesus as my Savior. Back yonder, I walked down the aisle and I made that decision. And they're living like the devil. And they think, well, I got the insurance policy, but the premiums have not been paid. They may have got it one day, but the premiums, it's lapsed. It is daily walk with Christ. It's daily intimacy with Christ. It's daily love for Jesus and love for his people. Those are the premiums. Those are the regular assurance that this policy is still valid. But if you say, well, I did it, you know, 25 years ago, and I'm fine. No, you're not. That is a misconception.
Can you lose your salvation?
I don't know if they were saved to begin with. They think that because they walked down that aisle at the age of 9 or 10 or 11 or 12,
that's it.
And in an emotional response, that they're okay. They bought the policy. This is the problem. This is the major problem. And we need to plead with people and appeal to people to understand what heaven is all about. And that's why in part of my calling, the few years I've got left, is to elevate people's vision from this life into life eternal. Because it is life eternal that's going to impact this life in a way that if they're looking for joy, looking for peace, and looking for love, looking for kind, I mean, that is what the thought of heaven will do.
How? How do I get those things in this life by connecting to and understanding better what's to come in heaven?
Well, because the scripture says that we're going to have rewards in heaven. Not everybody, see, I tell people, God is not a communist. It's not everybody going to get a trophy. It's not everybody's going to get the same. No.
So it's different for different people?
Absolutely, because in fact, the Bible talks about five different crowns in heaven. And these are not necessarily crowns that we're going to put on our head and say, hey, look at me, boys. But these are the crowns that we so gratefully, I don't know if I can emotionally get through this, we're so gratefully going to come at the feet of Jesus and lay them down and say, thank you for redeeming us. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for, and it's like in the Old Testament, don't appear before God empty-handed. Mm. Back when God was telling the Israelites when they came out of Egypt, don't appear before God empty-handed. Well, I don't want to appear in heaven empty-handed. I want to lay a crown at his feet.
Is that crown our service to him now? What are the crowns?
Well, for example, Paul talks about the crown for those who love his appearing. Mm. There is a specific reward and a specific crown to those who are really living with the anticipation of the coming of the Lord, those who love his appearing. There's a crown of faithfulness in service. So all these are crowns, are things that we're going to bring to Jesus, or I'm going to go, my hands are empty, I don't have anything, thank you for saving me. And so that is really what the crowns are all about. It's not for us to necessarily to be glorified, but in order to glorify Jesus.
But to be clear, we don't earn our way into heaven, correct?
Absolutely not. And this is the whole point. I'm talking to believers, people who have this assurance of salvation and eternal life, that they have submitted their life to Christ, that they've become born again from inside out, and not just going through the outward motions. And they know who they are, because the Bible said that the Spirit witnesses within us. Mm. We know. And you know, something else we know is the Spirit witnessing us, we know the other believers. The brothers and sisters, we immediately sense yes. that spiritual connection. And so the Spirit within us, the Spirit witness with, so those are the people I want to talk to. For the ones who really have never committed their life to Christ or go to church on occasion and they think they are really Christians because they're not Muslims or Hindu or Buddhist, now those people I have a different message for, and that is repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But that is not who I'm writing this book to. I'm writing a book on heaven to tell people, know where you're going and why you should live this life based on that eternal destiny.
The rewards that wait for us in heaven.
Yes.
I don't know, even with the Apostle John's great descriptions of what he saw, we just don't really have it in us to even begin to imagine what the face of God will look like or
sure.
what it will look like.
Yeah.
But you know this Bible well. Give us a picture. What is heaven like? That's a big question.
Sure. What's going to make heaven to be heaven is Jesus.
Mm.
That's really the bottom line. But think about this. Moses could not see the face of God.
Mm.
And he had to hide him in a cliff and then kind of doesn't see his face. No one could see the face of God without being incinerated because of the purity and the holiness and relationship to our sinfulness. But here's the great news. In heaven, we're not going to be in this current condition. We will have a glorified body, a supernatural body. The Bible says it's a body like Jesus after the resurrection. And because of that body, the new body that we have, we'll be able to see the face of God. When Moses couldn't, nobody could, not Abraham, nobody. But we will be able to see the face of God because of the supernatural body that will be given to us when we land there. Jesus explained this in a parable of the wedding gown. And a guy tried to sneak in. And he said, friend, how did he get here? Why don't you have a gown? Well, he thought he can go there based on his own effort, based on his own hard work. And they said, no, you don't go there based on that. You go there based on the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross and you hanging on his coattail and he's hanging on to you. That's the only reason and the only way you can get to heaven. That's the parable of that wedding gown and so forth. And so it's the same thing in heaven. He was thrown out, of course. And nobody's going to sneak in because his grandmother or his grandfather were Christians or because they're Catholics or because they're Protestants or because they're evangelical or because of any of these things. It is that personal relationship with Christ that gets us to be imputed with his righteousness. And eventually, now, here and now, and eventually going to give us that glorified body like Jesus' body after the resurrection that knows no limitation of space or time. That's why we will be able to see the face of God while Moses couldn't.
And when we accept Christ and when we believe that and when we look forward to heaven, the things of this earth are not so heavy. I mean, isn't that another benefit of heaven right now on earth? Is just, it's not all about this. There's hope. There's more.
I think that's the whole thing. The whole thing that gives us comfort in this life, as we began talking about that, that the very blessing of this life comes from knowing that we have a far better home.
Mm.
And I tell people when I do a funeral of friends and believers who are know they're going to heaven, I said, this is just a transformation. I call it going from the basement to the penthouse. I mean, you going from the tent to the mansion. In fact, it's not by accident that Paul calls this body a tent. A tent through the years will sag and become loose and then collapses. That's what's happened with time. And this tent will fold one day. But thank God I have a mansion that is in comparison to this one. The supernatural body, the glorious body that I will receive when I go to heaven. And if you compare it, it's a tent to a mansion.
And that's us physically. Will we have bodies in heaven?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, 1 Corinthians 15 is one of the longest chapters, 58 verses. But the whole argument that the Apostle Paul makes in that chapter is very, very important. We're not going to be floating souls in heaven. He said we'll be clothed, and we'll be clothed with bodies that are supernatural bodies, that bodies that like Jesus' body after the resurrection, so we'll be able to see and observe things and experience things the way the heavenly bodies experience. Otherwise, we couldn't.
Will we know each other?
Absolutely.
Because that's something people...
Oh, I know.
It's so hard to let a loved one go, but if they believed in the Lord...
Oh, I will say this is not a goodbye. This is a see you later.
Oh.
Because for the believers, that's what it is. It is a temporary separation, but we will recognize each other. I'll give you examples from the Bible because I'm not smart enough to make up the stuff. I'm telling you. On the Mount of Transfiguration, when our Lord took just three disciples with him, and there they said Moses and Elijah. How did they recognize them, Moses and Elijah? Even though they were in glorified body. But they recognized them. And when Jesus talks about Lazarus and the rich man, they went to two sides of Hades. One went to the, because that was before the resurrection of Jesus. They were separated, but they could communicate with each other. And so the rich man was there in hell for no more than a few seconds, and he cries out to Father Abraham on the other side of the chasm, and he said, send Lazarus to dip his finger in water to just cool the agony that I'm in. And I often say, literally, 1 minute in hell, and he turned into an evangelist. Talk about sharing Christ. He became an evangelist. When he finally realized that there's no hope for him, he said, just raise Lazarus from the dead so he can go to my father's household so that they can tell my brothers, I have a number of brothers. I don't want them to come here. I mean, here he is. William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, used to say, all the training I need to give my officers is 5 minutes in hell. And they'll become great evangelists.
Or maybe even just one.
1 minute.
Like
I think
man.
That's probably. But, that, you know, I'm just quoting him. But
yeah.
It really is. I mean, when you think about it, we're trying to save people eternally, not just when a doctor saves someone's life for however many years. Oh, he saved his life. Or it's anybody. And rescue somebody. This is wonderful. It's great. But think about rescuing from all of forever and ever and ever and ever in agony. I mean, this is the greatest rescue operation that we have been entrusted with if we take it seriously enough.
We're talking about heaven, but you just mentioned hell, those two opposing forces. Hell is real. We don't hear that in churches very often. We do in your church. We don't hear it very often in other churches.
Now, it's actually, I just read, so many mega church pastors have told their staffs and their pastors never to mention the word hell because, as I said, it's a turnoff. But, okay, what do we know about hell? Where do we know about hell? Where do we get the information from? From Jesus. He's the only one who told us about it. He's the one who was there before the creation of the world. He knows, and even he himself said that hell was created for Satan and his angels. And that's why God, the scripture said that God longs for everyone to be saved, that he desire everyone to be saved.
Because he did not create hell for humans.
No, originally it was created for Satan and his demons. because they rebelled against God. They were thrown out of heaven, and they continue to rebel against God by attacking his children and by creating havoc in this world. But nonetheless, they will be bound, and they will be thrown in the lake of fire that was prepared for them, not for us. But sadly, those who would follow Satan, those who choose to reject Christ and follow the way of Satan, they're going to end up with him. And you know what? He loves it. He wants to take as many people with him as possible.
And that's exactly why he would love for us to believe that he's not real.
Yeah.
He's just a little cartoon figure or
sure.
someone that comedians joke about. And hell is not real.
There are two mistakes, I think, some Christians make. One is they believe the lie that Satan is not real.
Right.
Or the other extreme is to be terrified of Satan all the time. Mm. Oh, the devil is going to do this. The devil is going to do this. He is in us greater than he is in the world. So I am not terrified of the devil. I'm not afraid of the devil. And I shouldn't be. No believer should. Because we were given victory. And we should be able to have the victory, even if we get defeated at times. When we fail and stumble and in the dumps, we can look up to heaven and say, I'm sorry, forgive me. And then you get up, you receive new victory, and you be restored to your former position.
With the armor of God.
Absolutely.
He equips
putting
us.
Putting it on every day. Every day.
Okay, tell me what. I watched my precious little mom in her last hours seeing something and smiling and marveling at it.
Sure.
You have a beautiful story. Your mother
yep.
heard them singing.
Yep.
Where did they go? Where are they now?
They go to the current heaven, the very heaven that John the Revelator saw, the heaven that Paul saw, and he said he's not allowed to talk about, and the heaven where Jesus is reigning and ruling right now. That is the third heaven.
Okay.
You know, the Bible talks about three heavens. The first heaven is where we are now. Mm. This is the realm in which Satan is really running wild and creating havoc. That's why Paul said our fight is not with flesh and blood, not with people, but with the supernatural powers in the heavenly places. That's the heavenly places. That's the first heaven. The second heaven is that atmospheric with the planets and so forth. But the third heaven is where our Lord Jesus Christ has ascended to after the resurrection and ascension, where all the believers are now. But then both John and Peter also says, you know, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, that the old earth will roll away, but there's going to be a new one. And that is indescribable. And we don't know a great deal about it. And we will, of course, experience it when Lord Jesus Christ comes back.
Earlier you had said, when believers see each other, meet each other, we know it.
Yeah.
We sense that.
Yeah.
I also believe that when believers and non-believers alike hear truth, yeah. they receive
it.
So why are churches turning away from truth, especially when it comes to preaching heaven and hell?
Yeah, because it's easy. They choose the easy way out. And Jesus said, wide is the road. And it's easy. He said that. He says, wide and easy, but narrow and difficult, the road that leads to salvation. And so it's my plea for all of the elect, those who know and love Jesus, do not turn your back on the narrow road, because that is your salvation. That is your eternity. Stay with it. The suffering is only for a short period of time, but eternal joy is going to be forever. And so this is the time when the believers begin to really take seriously their eternal home, their eternal future, and where they will spend eternity, and what they're going to say when they see Jesus. I tell folks, I said, I am simply looking forward to the words from his wonderful lips, well done. That's it. And the amazing thing is, and that's very important to me, Jesus did not say, much done.
Hmm.
Much done. And I could go to heaven and said, you know, look how many books I've written, how many sermons I've written. No. Did I do all these things faithfully? It's my faithfulness. Well done. Not the quantity, but the quality.
What a beautiful distinction. And Michael, thank you so much for writing this book, Heaven Awaits. everything that we've been talking about,
yep,
and so much more,
yep,
is included in your most recent book, Heaven Awaits. And I feel like this is not only inspiration for believers,
yeah,
to get into the Word of God,
yeah,
you even include in the back a list of passages that,
yeah,
we need to be looking at every day for,
exactly,
inspiration.
Yep.
But it's wonderful to have that book to use as a tool,
yes,
to get other people excited about heaven and excited about Jesus.
And that was the longing of my heart, to write a book about heaven that everybody, that a ninth grader in high school, can read it and relate to it. That's always the hardest part of my writing, is to bring it down all the way. A friend of mine said, Michael brings the cookie jar all the way down to the to the lower shelf so everybody can get it. And that's what really the longing of my heart. High school students, I love for them to read this book because they will be motivated to stay faithful. And they are under tremendous pressure. College students, old, young, and this is the book that you're literally not going to take you forever to read, and it's going to flow much quicker than you realize, but it's going to bless you in ways that is past the size of the book.
And when we talk about heaven, it's such a big subject. And again, I have to thank you for, this is not, you heard somebody died and came back. No. This is, what does the Bible say?
Right.
What does Jesus say?
Right.
Old Testament and New,
yeah,
about heaven. What really inspired you for this particular book?
You already referred to it, this heavenly tourism.
Yeah.
Where people say, well, I went to heaven, I saw this and I saw that and saw the other thing. And I said, why do I have to take your word for it when I already have the word of the one who died and went to heaven and came and told me about it? The one who created heaven, the one who made heaven. But we are, as humans, we just kind of hang on all these little things that are not really going to help us afloat. We think they do. So that is why I said, I want people to know what Jesus says about heaven, what the Bible said about heaven, what God and what we as believers expect about heaven. So that really was a major motivation, because even New Age people, you know, to come in and talk about light. One lady supposedly died and went to heaven, and Jesus told her, I said, you know, you don't have to believe in me to come here. I said, well, Jesus doesn't contradict himself. She saw somebody, but it's not Jesus. The Bible said that Satan appeared as an angel of light. We need to be absolutely sure to understand and to know what our beloved Lord Jesus, with whom we're going to be for all of eternity, says about heaven.
When this life is over and you close your eyes in death, if you have placed your faith and trust in Jesus, heaven becomes your new home. But what will heaven look like, sound like, and what will you do? In Dr. Michael Youssef's new book, Heaven Awaits, he looks at what Jesus says about heaven. As you read this book, you'll gain a deeper understanding of the truth of heaven and what is ahead for God's children. As you find out more, you're sure to gain a hunger for heaven, knowing definitively the amazing sights, sounds, and activities that await you. Order your copy of Heaven Awaits today from Leading the Way. For a limited time, Dr. Youssef is offering to send a copy of Heaven Awaits to those who give a gift of any amount to Leading the Way. Your gift will go toward the ongoing worldwide ministry of Leading the Way, making it possible for your neighbors to hear the truth of God's Word, and for that same truth to be shared across 6 continents. The website to learn more is ltw.org. ltw.org.
Get a glimpse into the window of your eternal home by reading Heaven Awaits. Right now, Dr. Youssef is making this powerful book, Heaven Awaits, available when you give a gift of any amount to the worldwide ministry of Leading the Way. Speak with a ministry representative today, 866-626-4356. And of course, you can order securely online as well. That's ltw.org. And you can write to us as well. We really treasure getting your notes and letters. Write to Leading the Way, Post Office Box 20100, Atlanta, Georgia, 30325. Again, Post Office Box 20100, Atlanta, Georgia, 30325. All right, there's the music that means that we need to say goodbye. But do make plans to listen again next time right here for more Leading the Way. This program is furnished by Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef. Connect with us via television, YouTube, Facebook, X, and all of our social networks.